Let's pray before we start. Father God, may the words from my mouth be pleasing to your ears by your Holy Spirit. Amen. So, hello everybody. My name is Beth Keenan and I am the new curate here at St. George's and also over at St. Luke's. I've been with you for a few weeks now and it has been amazing. My background has been that my husband and myself have been creating communities with 18 to 30s, and a lot of that community building was centred around one of my favourite things, which is food. So today I'm really excited that my first preach with you is on eating and feasting with the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now these words, eating and feasting, before I tell you what they mean, I'd like you to turn to someone near you and tell them or not whether or not you'd be more excited to be invited to someone's house to eat or to be invited to someone's house for a feast. So just turn to the person next to you. What would you prefer? Amazing. I'm hearing lots of feast, feast. Sounds like you're all having secret chats. That's great. Okay, so I'm going to give you the definition for both of these. One of them is quite blunt. Wonder if you can guess which one it is. So we have eating, and that is simply to put food into your mouth, chew, and swallow it. Doesn't sound that fun. Can see why a lot of you went with feasting. And now we have feasting, which is to enjoy a plentiful and delicious meal in the company of others. Maybe with some entertainment. We can think of things like weddings. Lots of times we enjoy food with other people. So our passage today, interestingly, is the only miracle of Jesus that is told in all four of the Gospels. The only miracle told in all four of the Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000 shows God's abundance, power, authority, and compassion. And this today is the one that we find in Mark's Gospel. I want to give you some deeper context into this feeding of the 5,000, how it took place and what happened immediately before, as we encounter some very hungry disciples, and then 5,000 hungry people added to that, all without access to food. So before the feeding of the 5,000 took place, Jesus had shown the 12 disciples his authority over sickness, death, demons, and the elements of nature. And after these powerful displays, which were a really positive time for them all, they then faced two really difficult events. The Gospel of Matthew shows the disciples then heard of the shocking execution of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. And then they see Jesus rejected in his own town by people who have known him since he was small. At a time when they might wish to wallow, worry, or hide for protection, instead the disciples are sent out by Jesus without him, together in pairs, and are told not to take food or money, but to live through the generosity and hospitality of others. Jesus sends them out to preach, and he gives them authority over impure spirits. This is very different from what we might want to do after those events have taken place. So we have a high, we have two very low lows, and then we have the sending out of the disciples by Jesus, in which they have quite an exciting time, we hear. So they've anointed the sick in this sending out, they've seen healing, and they've preached. And this is where we then come into this passage, with the disciples, here called the apostles, because they've been sent out, gathered around Jesus, telling him all they have done and taught. And you can imagine the spilling out of stories as different pairs tell Jesus who they anointed, who they prayed for. This person said this, and then I went up to this person, and John said this. Almost like when kids come back from a really good day, and they all want to tell you the amazing things that have happened. And then, because so many people were coming and going while they were sharing with Jesus, they didn't even have a chance to eat. Jesus says to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Oh, I'd be thinking, Finally, a bit of peace and quiet, maybe chill on a beach with Jesus, have a barbecue. Oh, this is just what we need after such a busy time. But we know that's not quite what happens. Instead, we have a showing of God's provision. God's provision, which means God provides. Now, many of us are familiar with the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, but for some, this might be a new and exciting story. But the significance of this miracle goes far beyond the physical act of feeding a large crowd with a few loaves and fish. It's a testament to the power and compassion of Jesus, even in times of scarcity and need. "You're not you when you're hungry," is a popular tagline from which chocolate bar? Can anyone shout out? Snickers! 10 points. "You're not you when you're hungry." I'm sure we can all feel ourselves get a little grumpy sometimes when we're hungry. In our house, we use the word hangry, which was added to the dictionary in 2018, so it's actually a word as well, which is good. This means when your hunger actually causes you to start getting angry. I've learned that to keep both my boys happy, and no, I'm not talking about two children, I'm talking about my husband and my son, to keep them both happy, we have to carry a ridiculous amount of snacks. And that means we have to deal with a ridiculous amount of crumbs. I'm often told how similar my son is to his dad, and they are never more similar when they are both hangry. The eyebrows come out, the tone of their voice goes high, they get stroppy with each other, and as soon as they've eaten, it's like butter wouldn't melt. Well, research studies have backed up that our hunger really does negatively affect us and has an impact on how we view our surroundings. And I'm sure that after all has taken place with the disciples, they were very hungry. And now here are 5,000 more people all starting to get hungry. So it says that after Jesus taught them, taking compassion on them as they were like sheep without a shepherd. It says that then Jesus directed the disciples to have all the people sit down on groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took 5 loaves, gave thanks to heaven, and then he gave it to the disciples to distribute among the people and the fish. Jesus took a seemingly insignificant amount of food from the crowd. It wasn't made out of thin air. It was already there among the people. And he multiplied it to meet the needs of thousands. He wasn't complacent with this miracle. He organized the people, involved the disciples, provided a plentiful meal where they all ate and were satisfied. And then the disciples collected up 12 bowls of leftover food. Kind of like my husband and I have to collect up all the crumbs after times of snacks. Just as we see good stewardship in everyone being organized into these little groups so no one is left out, we also see the collecting of all this food so there is no waste at the end. I don't know about you, but I'd say this is a little less eating, simply putting food in your mouth, chewing and swallowing it, and a little more feasting. There's life-giving teaching given by Jesus, spiritually nourishing them. People have been kept all together in these little groups of 50s and 100s, rather than scattering off into loneliness to fend for themselves. And there's a special meal that's been provided by a miracle. I'm wondering what you would think if right now I got down, sat back down, and ended the sermon. Because I think I would think in that point, I would think of a challenging question. If it's so easy for God to provide, why are people hungry? Why are people having no other choice than to eat every meal in loneliness? Why are people not regularly included in great feasts of celebration and joy now? Well, our world is not how it was originally intended. God walked with Adam and Eve in a garden that I think maybe looked a bit like this, abundant with fruit, before sin entered the world. And every plant, other than the tree of knowledge, was available to them for food and bursting with food, good food, nourishing food that had not come from exploitation of people or animals, but was growing straight from the earth and eaten in God's presence. But when sin entered the world, Adam and Eve left the garden, and humanity's struggle with food began. The world was broken by sin, suffering, and death, and striving became a part of life and hasn't stopped yet. But that wasn't the end of our story either. Through God's love, he sent us his son, and in the death and resurrection of Jesus, a man free of sin completely, death itself was conquered, pointing towards the promise of eternal life in God's presence. Not somewhere over there in a heaven that we can imagine, but here in a new heaven and new earth, a new creation after the second coming of Jesus. So while we still live in a broken world now, with glimpses of beautiful fruit trees like this, we live with hunger and with sin and with loneliness. But the future of a new heaven and new earth has been won for those who accept Jesus as their Saviour. Therefore, this miracle of God's abundant provision, with everyone in one group eating outdoors together in God's glorious creation, can be seen as a glimpse of our eternal life with God. Our world today has hunger, fear, striving, and disaster. It is not how it was originally made. It's under the influence of evil. And this miracle is a glimpse of what we can all look forward to with confidence in the time of waiting. And in this waiting, God invites us to participate. Not to sit around doing nothing, but to join in with what he is doing. So in the feeding of the 5,000, we see that God is powerful and generous and gracious. He knows people's physical needs and has compassion on them. We see that the feeding of the 5,000 is a glimpse of the future that we hope for. And this final bit that we are going to look at is how we are invited to participate and how we can participate with others. The disciples here, also called the apostles because they've been sent out, they offer a solution to Jesus after they spot that people might be getting hungry. And I want you to look at this passage again because Jesus pushes them to use their own initiative, but not necessarily their logic. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said. "It's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat. That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread? How many loaves do you have?" he asked. And then Jesus directed all the people to sit down on the grass, and the feeding of the 5,000 took place. I wonder if you could spot the logic. Logically, it does make complete sense to suggest that they go and get some food. I would probably see that as the only possible option in this time. But Jesus doesn't want them to see possibilities by human actions. He wants them to use their initiative faithfully, leaving a space for confidence in God's provision. I find this challenging because I'm a very logical person. The disciples are challenged to have to rely on God, and the disciples' role in distributing the food and the collecting of the leftovers teaches us about the importance of us participating in God's work of providing for others. For us reading it, it serves as a reminder for the call to service and generosity. Jesus could easily have performed this miracle by himself. He could have easily just told the disciples exactly what was going to happen, but he invited them into the conversation and the decision to be part of this miracle. So, how does this impact us, and how can we make an impact? Well, we know the world's relationship with food is broken. Global hunger is increasing on the one hand, but at the same time, so is our wastage of food, with billions of tons of food wasted each year. And in the UK, 60% of that waste comes from our own homes. I know sometimes I'm so busy trying to get food here and there, I forget about that little bag of spinach that sat at the back of my veg drawer. And you've only got to look back to the effects of COVID-19, when a lot of us went to our individual parts of our brains and hoarding food became a real issue. Now, not only is there a lack of food, but also a lack of community. And this is something that impacts you whatever your financial status is. Do you have the time to enjoy meals with other people? Do you have the time to invite others to meals with you? Has food in our society simply become about putting food in our mouth and chewing and swallowing it, and less about feasting in the enjoyment of others? Now, I've got a bit of good news. St. George's and St. Luke's, I've only been here a few weeks, and I think you are incredible at blessing people with food. There's community meal at St. George's, feeding free food to a whole host of people. And at St. Luke's with Cafe for All, which has been a lovely place for me to come and enjoy some delicious brownies. And on a personal note, the first interaction we had with this church before I saw all of your lovely faces was 4 massive food parcels get delivered to our house on the day we moved in. Like I said, my boys get a bit hangry when they're hungry. So that food was a real blessing to our emotions, our well-being, when we were going through a time of a house full of boxes. And that meant we could then cook for and feed the people that were coming to our home, helping us move as well. So that blessing kept passing on. So thank you for that. So my challenge for you, as we see what a blessing feasting is, I hope the challenge is simple. Eat with others. Take the time to enjoy the food that you do have. And say yes to invitations of community meal or Cafe for All. Even more, I have read a few times in the Bible that Jesus even invited himself over to others' houses sometimes. Just saying. In fact, last night, our dinner was all ready and we decided to go over and eat with my godsister, who now lives 5 minutes from us. It was a really nice time of us not having to prep for each other, but still being able to eat all together. And it's a lovely thing. We have communion this morning, and this is a real symbol of feasting and celebrating the sacrifice that was made for us. So let's be people that feast and invite others to feast with us. Because in the church, we have the best reasons to celebrate. So the feeding of the 5,000... it's an amazing miracle, showing God's provision and showing Jesus as the incredible teacher he is, to get people to participate with him. So let's leave space in our lives for God to work miracles through us as we bless those around us. Let's pray as we finish. Father God, thank you for your provision. But please do help us in the places we are struggling and lacking with food, with community, with feasting. We thank you that Jesus teaches us to this day. And we pray, Holy Spirit, help us see the power, grace, and provision in our own lives and in the lives of others as we participate to bless our communities. Amen.